We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to the DFS Free Game Show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender at Blender HD. And this is the show where we talk a little bit about yesterday's slate, review some strategy stuff, talk about today's slate a little. We got some weather to deal with today. I think there's a bunch of weather spots that we may not know about until a bit later. But I'm always in the YouTube chat with you folks. I see Mr. Charles McSorley, Frederick Dute, Suki Singh, Daniel Hutchings, Tony P, Zach Hobbs, Max Coach One, Zupocalypse. You know what to do. Hit that thumbs up button. Keep my apple juice cold in the morning. It's nice. It's nice and cold. Just got it out of the fridge. Keep it there for the next 45, 50 minutes, whatever amount of time. Go over what's going on today. Yesterday started out well. Yesterday started out well and didn't end well. Okay. Yesterday was interesting strategically because of the two postponed games. Because actually the two games that got postponed were the games that were set to be the most popular games, right? We had that Coors game, the Giants and the Rockies, and the Giants, DraftKings just forgot the price up, right? So they were going to be pretty chalky, right? Guys like Belt and Longoria and, you know, their outfielders and whoever there, because they were still like under 4K, 3K, something like that. But it started to snow there and Coors got canceled. And then we had the Dodgers in Wrigley Field. Walker Buehler was still going to get some ownership, even though there was going to be wind blowing out to Wrigley in Wrigley. And the Dodgers were kind of underpriced also a little bit. Maybe not Betts. Betts was 6,000, but we had some Dodgers in the 4K range, and they were going to be popular. Well, that game gets postponed. That game gets rained out. So this is what all happens like 2 hours before lock. I mean, which I'm glad. I'm glad we get the news early. But the question is, Vader's out of all that ownership go to, right? Because originally the ownership was going to go to Giants, going to the Dodgers. Well, now they're out on the slate. Then we have only two pitchers that are above like 10K, and that was Buehler and that was Glasnow. Now, Glasnow was already going to be somewhat popular, and Buehler was maybe going to get maybe 15, 20% ownership. So where does that go? Well, the question comes in, like, what type of roster constructions could you make now? Because before, you were probably a chalk construction would have been something like either like Glasnow-Maeda, which was the chalk pitcher combination, and then like a couple of Giants, a couple of Dodgers, right? You had some cheap Giants and expensive Dodgers because Maeda was underpriced also yesterday for him coming back. He hasn't pitched well this year, but he's a pretty good pitcher. He scored the most points. He scored 29.6 points yesterday. But now that Buehler's gone, like what do you do with pitcher? Like, as far as, like, if you don't play the chalk pitching combination, because we see here that Glasnow 56%, Maeda 38%. I'm assuming Buehler would have taken something off of Glasnow, right? Okay, I'm assuming, like, ownership like Savale, like, was going to be lower. And we also got Otani was scheduled to pitch, but then he's not, right? This was a little bit earlier in the day, so Quintana was going to pitch for him. So that added another pitcher in like the mid-range. He only came in at 8% ownership. I had a bunch of him. I mean, he did well for two innings, had a horrible third inning, and then did well. He had nine strikeouts, but he still gave up four runs. So the question came in, like, where do you go a pitcher if you don't go with Glasnow Maeda? Because Glasnow was not in a good spot. Glasnow did not project well for his salary. Ballpark downgrade against an Angels team that doesn't strike out as much. Okay? Obviously, he gave up like three runs in the last inning that he was in. He was doing well to that point. 18.7. On the grand scheme of this slate, 18.7 was good for raw points. Maeda, Glasnow, Creamer, the Dairy Creamer, that guy, Dean Creamer, he projected well. I'm surprised he only came in at 9% ownership. I thought he was actually going to be – I thought Creamer would be where Wainwright is, and Wainwright would be where Creamer was. I thought Creamer would be 20% owned, not Wainwright. It worked out for me because I played a ton of the Mets. So that's fine. But I would have played way more Creamer. I wouldn't have played as much Seattle, which I did because I thought Creamer would be a popular SP2 option. Daniel Lynch making his major league debut. I took a shot on him. I mean, he did okay until kind of the end. Only scored 5.7, but he was 4K, right? No big deal. Then we have like Montas, Mats, like no one really did all that well. Velasquez did well. We had that game. That game was like a risk, a rain risk, but I didn't think it was that much so that I treated it like it didn't matter, right? Philadelphia, Milwaukee, I put the bats in that game. I thought people would get scared off. Didn't want the pitchers, but Velasquez did pitch well. Dane Dunning got 15.75. I don't know how he pulled that one off. But the key was, is like, okay, where does everyone go? And how do you take advantage of that? So the pitching, it's like, it was very hard. I built 125 lineups yesterday. I still had 60% Glasnow. I didn't want it. I wanted to build lineups without Glasnow, but it was hard not to, because from a raw points perspective, where are you spending your money? Where is it? You play Maeda at like what, 7,800, whatever he was. And then what? If you play Daniel Lynch at 4,000, then okay, you're spending up at bats. How many lineups can you build like that? I didn't think Montas was all that appealing. I think Savali was overpriced. I played a bunch of Mats. That didn't really work out. Like Quintana was 7K. Like where are you spending the money just to get raw points? Like, yeah, sure. You could leave 4,000 on the table. Yeah, of course you can. So where are you spending raw points? Because you don't have bets. You don't have the Rockies on the slate anymore. Harper and Hoskins were out for the Phillies, right? Where are you spending the money? I mean, like what? And Tatis and Machado were chalk, but that's the main reason. Like, okay, where are you going to spend your money? Well, Padres. The Padres stack was a higher owned stack, not the chalk. I mean, like no one was really that chalk. The Twins came in chalky. Like people paid up for Byron Buxton. He didn't project wealth for his salary. I think he's at 6,100 or whatever. People didn't, and then Trout is there, but people are playing Glasnow against him. So you're not spending money on Trout. So where's the money going? Jose Ramirez, right. You're paying up for that, right? Buxton for no reason, right? Arenado at third base. You're paying up. Goldschmidt. Like you see, a Rosarena. Like you had the salary. But you had to be aware of that when you're building your lineups. Just because you have the salary, everyone else has the salary also. So in order for me to build lineups that had maybe cheaper stacks or off the board stacks, I had to play Glasnow with my eight. I just had to play Glasnow. Just pay 10K and whatever. Hope I get enough raw points, which it worked out to be that way. But the twins actually came in way higher on than I thought. I didn't play that much of them anyway. The Rays a little bit, right? Really, but the two teams, the three teams that I played the most of were the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Blue Jays. But in Slate IQ, they were the highest positive leverage stacks. And from the ownership, I was happy with it. Absolutely happy with it. Yeah, Goldschmidt and Arenado, you know, they were owned. But, I mean, I had stacks with Bader and O'Neill and Edmund and everyone around that lineup. And the same thing for the Mets. Like Alonso. Alonso only come in at 9% owned, and I thought it would be double that. Where are you spending your money? Where are you spending your salary cap? People spent it at shortstop with Tatis, 35% owned, zero. Okay? I tried to avoid that. I still play Padres, right? I knew people would putting Alex Kirill off. He's still underpriced. So making twin stacks with him, okay, that made sense, but a lot of people did that. I didn't know how owned Quintana was going to be, so I didn't know if the Tampa Bay stack would be relevant enough for leverage. But it turns out that the Mets were. It turns out with Wainwright being the third highest owned pitcher, I walked into a good spot. I was playing the Mets regardless of Wainwright's ownership. If I knew Wainwright was 19% owned, I would have played the same amount of Mets. Right, I wasn't playing Lucchese, so yes, Cardinals, Mets. And they were fine for a while, and then better just the last three or four innings, really no one did anything. When Ben Rortvedt is 9% on the Twins, I mean, yeah, he's a cheap catcher. Like, you could visualize these constructions that people are going to do. It's like Glasnow, Maeda, Machado, Tatis, and then press the optimize button. It's like, whatever stack fits in like that, that's what you're going to get. But that means you're going to pay up for Buxton because you have the money. If you're not playing Tatis, you're probably playing Buxton. Who else in the outfielder was even, who in the outfield was even over 5K on this slate? That wasn't Trout. Because you could have played Trout, but you're not going to play Trout against Glasnow. So we saw Trout's ownership, 7%. On a slate where you had the salary, the season, Trout at 7%, pretty low. But the main thing that you had to consider yesterday was what happens when both those games get postponed. And how do you believe the field is going to react, not just to that, but also that first game on the slate, the Philadelphia-Milwaukee game. That wasn't safe. And then it started to rain in the eighth inning, and then it didn't went away. I treated it as it wasn't going to rain, hoping that the field would be scared of it, because that condenses ownership even more. So I played Milwaukee stacks. I played Philadelphia stuff, even with their warped down lineup, right? I have Roman Quinn in two lineups, and he's 0.4% owned. Okay, give it to me. On an eight-game slate now? Sure, give it to me. But that's the key. That was the key to yesterday. How do you believe the field is going to react? It's easy to project ownership when everything's available. When it's okay, but now that it's, a half an hour, 45 minutes before lock, and it's like, well, this game's off the slate. And this other game went off the slate, went off the board an hour before that. Where are people going to go? Because there wasn't like one highly projected spot. Yesterday, it was the Giants and the Dodgers, but they're both gone. Those were the highest projected places. The Padres kind of were next against Tyler Anderson, who had like five innings of no-hit ball. And then from there, it's like a lot of evenness. If you looked at the bat yesterday, the point projections stack-wise of all the stack of most of the stacks of there were 16 teams. I think 12 out of the 16 teams were within like 5 total points of each other. If you look on Slate IQ, the winning percentages is very similar. But people are irrational. So, this is a good San Diego and Minnesota. It's like, yeah, well, how about the Cardinals? How about the Mets? How about the Blue Jays? Well, the Blue Jays are getting a ballpark downgrade. So how owned are they going to be? Bichette? People paid up for Tatis, but not Bichette. Is Tatis a better play? Of course he is. Against Tyler Anderson versus Bichette against Montas. But that, look at the difference. 9% ownership versus 35% ownership. So why not play Guerrero? Also, well, you're overpaying. Yeah, you're right, you're overpaying. But you look at Billings here. Compare their ownership to the Padres' ownership. To the Twins' ownership. That's really what you're thinking about, because you had the money. And if you're playing non-Glasnow lineups, you have all the money in the world. There's no other pitchers worth paying. Savali's you could pay $8,900 for him. I didn't. Then you had Wainwright, and I wasn't playing him. So it's like I'm making lineups that are like Maeda and Mats, and Mats was like what $7,800 something. And then if it's a contrarian stack, I'm playing Tatis in my shortstop spot. Okay. But if not, like, where am I going? How do I fill that shortstop spot in a stack? And I have plenty of salary to spend. Well, the Blue Jays, right? Paul DeJong, right? If we take a look at shortstop here, right? You had Cleveland, but I was playing Lynch, so I didn't play Cleveland. Lindor, yeah, I had plenty of Lindor. Who? Why is he getting paid $300 million? I don't know. Polanco is part of the twin stack, which is insane. Here's how you could tell that people are playing two chalky constructions. Tatis is 35% owned. Kirilloff is 21% owned. So what people are doing are building stacks and then playing those guys as one-offs. Because with how owned the Twins were, there's no reason that a Jorge Polanco, who is eligible at both middle infield positions, was only 4% owned. It doesn't make sense. This is what you should be exploiting. Did he project all that well? No. But if you're playing a twin stack, why are you playing a Kirilloff twin stack with Tatis at shortstop? You're playing a chalky stack with Buxton. You're playing Buxton, Tatis, Kirilloff. Why? We take a look at that ownership. Like that, that's the most common construction. You're playing Glasnow Maeda with a Kirilloff, Tatis, Buxton lineup with a twin stack. Welcome to Chalk City. Well, I mean, that's why. Now, did I think the Twins were going to be as high owned? No. I still think Kirilloff was going to be 15% owned. I mean, it's not like they were going to be not owned. They were going to be low owned. But you have to visualize the lineups. You have to visualize what constructions could fit in. If I play a twin stack, it makes the most sense to play Kirilloff and Buxton and Cruz and Arias. You know, something like that. And then it's like, oh, then now I can pay for Tatis at shortstop, right? Right? You play Tommy Pham as a one-off or something like that. You play even on the Twins. We have Donaldson at third base. It's like how old was Donaldson, right? 7%. When Kirilloff and Buxton and Arias are all 15, 16, 21% owned. The twin stacks, what five-man twin stacks weren't as owned as it looked like because of the other ownership on the team. If you built a lineup with Tatis, Kirilloff, and Buxton in it, like what, and Machado? You're doing it like a 5-2-1 twins with Glasnow and Maeda? Like, well, welcome to you holding hands with a lot of lineups in that contest. You're going to need some outlier results from the other guys in your lineup. But whoever that one-off is it the best projected lineup? Yes. I'm not disputing that. Is it the lineup most likely to win $50,000 for first place? Absolutely not. That's what you're aiming for in large field GPPs. You're aiming in any GPPs. You're aiming for first place. But I understand if you didn't know that was going to be the chalk construction. Yeah, because I wouldn't have either. Would I have thought that 16.8% of the field was going to pay up for Byron Buxton? No, I didn't. I thought maybe it'd be 8% owned, right? The twin stack wouldn't have him in it. It would have Cruz in it instead. What was Cruz's ownership? 10%. Well, whatever. It's close enough. We can see the one-offs right here, like the Ramirez, the Rosarena, all these pay-up spots because any non-Glasnow lineup, like, look, there's 56.9% ownership, 57% ownership. So that's 43% of the field because you couldn't play Bueller, had a combined pitcher combination of, like, less than, like, 16K, which means you could pay for expensive stacks, which maybe this is why some of these expensive players are more owned than you may have thought. But you have to think about that beforehand, before when you make lineups. But that's the main reason I had 60% Glasnow. Going into the slate when Coors and the Dodgers were on the slate, I was considering not even playing him at all, like just have him in zero lineups. Not just saying I would play Bueller. But then I would be able to play maybe expensive Rocky stack, some type of Rocky stack or Dodgers with Betts, do something like that. and then play two cheaper pitchers, Maeda and someone else. But that was taken off the table. It's like, where's everyone else going to go? Then I found out that I can't make any lineups without Glasnow in it because it's still spending all my salary. It's like, okay, you got all the batters and I got 10K left. Do you want to just leave 2K on the table and play someone else or what? I'm building 5-man stacks. I'm putting in 3 good one-offs and I still have all the money. So raw points wise, why don't I take the best pitcher on the slate? From a talent perspective, at least. So all you need is raw points. I just didn't think, outside of Maeda, I didn't think any pitcher was going to put up enough raw points that I think it wouldn't have mattered. Everyone was going to get 12, 15. You know, there'd be a plenty of those types of guys. Glasnow wouldn't have a ceiling game, which was true. But he still had more points than most of the other pitchers. Let's go through the YouTube chat. Kevin M., is it possible to reserve lineups on FanDuel and then fill them with lineups from a CSV? Just build a dummy lineup and enter it into everything. I don't know why people don't do that. Don't reserve any lineups, ever. I never reserve lineups. You build a lineup, put in whoever you want. Don't build a lineup, just literally tap around and who cares who it fills in. Then once it's all filled in, then you enter that lineup into everything that you want. And then you download the CSV, and that lineup is in all the cells for every single contest. And then you could sort the contests by whatever way you want, and then cut and paste your new lineups on top of them all. I don't know what reserve lineups look like. Are they empty? I've never downloaded CFC with empty stuff in it. I've always built the lineup, dummy lineup. That's what's called a dummy lineup. Simply, I go the night before. I have a lineup on FanDuel. I have a lineup on DraftKings now. And I enter all the time, all 100 contests, whatever, into there. It's the same lineup. Do I care who's in that lineup? No. I just kind of look at the slate. Who's on the slate? I don't know. Okay. Oh, DeGrom. Oh, okay. And fit some stuff. And within 60 seconds, I'm done. And then I go and I enter all the contests that I want with it. And then you download the CSV and it's there. So I don't know. Farbar James, love the videos and podcasts. Is there a tool that tells what percentage of people are stacking a certain team? Yes, it's called ownership percentage. That's where you get RotoGrinders Premium. Click on the link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. That's the point of ownership projections. What percentage of people are stacking us? Yeah, you look at the ownership of all the players. We have a stack percentage page on RotoGrinders for premium members. If you're not running your own ownership percentages, your ownership projections, you should be somewhere where they have them. That's how you could figure it out. But it's hard. It's hard to do that. And you can try to do it algorithmically, but it's not going to be perfect either. So like I said, on RotoGrinders, we had Dean Kremer, the Orioles pitcher, at around 20% owned and Wainwright at 10% owned. Turned out it was the opposite. Turned out more people played Wainwright. But it was primarily because we eliminated so many players that people were going to play on the slate. Dean Kremer was 6,100. Did you need 6,100? Because you were either playing him instead of Maeda in your lineup and playing Glasnow Kremer, or if you played Maeda Kremer, how do you spend all your salary? I mean, like, that's what it came down to. Wainwright was at least like 8,000 in that range. He was more likely to fit into lineups. So Kremer would have been more owned on the slate with the other team, with the Dodgers still on the slate, with Coors still on the slate. But figuring that out is very tough. What is the field going to do now? I don't know. Uncrabby Cabby, hey Jordan, when building 150 lineups, what's the best way to avoid clumping? There's no best way. There are ways. What I tend to do to clumping, meaning that you're getting similar combinations to each other. So obviously the number one thing you do is you set unique players higher. Right? Like in lineup HQ, Like if you keep it at one, that means obviously the difference between your lineups is only going to be one player. So if you're trying to weave together like on FanDuel, for instance, if you're trying to weave together a 4-4 and it's only one person difference, like it's going to be the same two stacks just with a slightly different guy. So you can get a lot of similar combinations. So you up that up to 2 or 3, depending on how many stacks you're playing. At least get more diversity, right? You're not playing the same 1-2-3-4 from one team and 1-2-3-7 from the other team. Like you're not getting the same combinations. But another way to increase that is like on DraftKings, for instance, I'm doing 5-man stacks. Remember, the optimizer is just a calculator. It's solving a knapsack problem. So for instance, I'm just making it up on this slate, right? I don't know what's going on, but let's go to a team. Get rid of these. I could reset projections. Okay, that didn't do anything. Okay, let's go to a team that maybe does it project well. Let's see. Tampa looks like it may come in. Tampa may be the value stack today, so let's go to Tampa. Okay. Tampa Bay. Okay, let's sort by the order. This is the projected order. So I have Arozarena, Meadows, Wendell, Lowe, Kiermaier, Adames, Tsutsugo, Zunino, Phillips. Okay, a lot of lefties against Cobb. Okay. If you were to stack 5 of Tampa Bay and tell lineup HQ, I want a 5-man stack of Tampa Bay. Most likely you're going to get Meadows. You're going to get something like Meadows, Lowe, Kiermaier, Adames, Tsutsugo. Okay? You can get a lot of lineups like this. Especially if you have no unique players, right? This is the highest projected point per dollar Tampa Bay stack, right? Because you can tell by the point per dollar value. So let's say you're building 100 lineups and you want 10 of these. You want 10 Tampa Bay stacks. Well, out of the 10 stacks, you're probably going to get all 10 of them with Austin Meadows in it. You're going to probably get like 8 or 9 of them with Kiermaier in it. 8 or 9 of them with Adames in it. 8 or 9 with Tsutsugo in it. It's like you're going to, like four, at least, but like you're going to get 4 of them, if not all 5. It's going to give you these 5 and then give you 2 different pitch, a pitcher, or even if you put unique players 3. Let's say you put unique players 3. You're going to get these same 5 and a different third baseman, a different outfielder, and a different SP2 or something. Or a different catcher, right? You're going to get something like that. Then you're going to have your 10 Tampa Bay stacks, but you didn't take a look. You just, oh, the game's on. And next thing you know, Joey Wendell hits a 3-run home run, and you literally have none of them. None of them. You have nothing. Like, but I wanted to get Ray's stacks. Why? Stupid optimizer, stupid tool. It's the tool's fault. Nope, it's your fault. Nope, that's user error. You have to see here that you didn't tell it what you wanted. So since I know that it's going to jam in because it's trying to give you as many of these F points as possible, that's what naturally is going to do that until you told otherwise. So since I know that this is going to be the way that most of these Tampa stacks are going to be, let's say you have 10% of Tampa Bay. Okay. Obviously these, and let's say you don't even worry about the one-offs. They're going to be 3-mans. There's going to be whatever. Like let's put that out of the, you have to calculate a little bit extra for that. So if you're going to have 10, you're building 100 lineups and you're having 10 Tampa Bay stacks, 10%. Unless you want Austin Meadow in all 10%, cap him at 8. Maybe you want him in all 10, but I'm just saying, if you don't, cap him at 8. Because you're going to probably get a lot of Kiermaier, cap him at 8. So at least 2 of the stacks, it doesn't have Kiermaier. 2 of the stacks don't have these guys. Then on these lower point per dollar players, make sure you get some of them. So like maybe you put a Arozarena minimum percentage, 4. Wendell, minimum 4. Maybe you look down here. Zunino, minimum 4 or something. Whatever, 2. So you're getting 10 of them. So now, at least your lineups, if you want different raise stacks, will be different. If you leave it up to just whatever the most fantasy points, it'll just give you the best 5 more often than not. So now you'll get some that are a Rosarena, Meadows, Wendell, Kiermaier, Zunino. Then you get another one that's Meadows, Wendell, Lowe, Adamas, Tsutsugo. You'll get another one that's Rosarena, Meadows, Wendell, Lowe, Phillips. I mean, you'll get more different Rays combinations. And they'll be at different price points. So which means that on some of these, when you're playing a Rosarena and because Wendell's 4,200 as opposed to Tsutsugo's 2,200, that means your one-off is going to be different. It's going to be a lower or higher priced one-off, or a double stud pitcher versus a cheaper SP2. It'll give you naturally different constructions. Because the reason why Wendell and a Rosarena in this example aren't coming in as much is because they're a little bit overpriced. I mean, they're normally priced. It's just that the other Rays are underpriced. So it's trying to give you as many of them as possible. Not going to give you a 6.99 projected Wendell. Most likely, Wendell won't even show up as a one-off in any of your other lineups because he's too lowly projected. But if he's going to bat third and shortstop eligible, and you're playing Rays stacks, like why shouldn't you have Wendell? So make sure you get him. If you want that, and if you said, no, I want to just X out Wendell, that's fine. Perfectly fine. But so many people don't do this. They go to the stacks page. They put in their numbers. They go, give me 10%. They go to Tampa, right? They go all the way down here. Oh, I want 10. Give me 10. They add them up and whatever, and they go spit them out. They go 5X or whatever the hell. Joey Wendell hits a grand slam, and they're well, why don't I have any Joey Wendell? How did that happen? Did you check? So a lot of times I even do that before I even generate anything. Like what I just did right there with the Rays. And because you have to know the percentage that you have, because that's what you're calculating. Let's say on this slate, I have 20% Rays. Well, now I'd probably double these numbers, right? Do I want Meadows in all of them? No, I want them like 16 out of the 20. Kiermaier in 16 out of the 20, right? Wendell in at least like 8 of them, or Rosarena in 8 of them, and Zunino in at least 4 of them, you know, like that type of thing, right? You do something like that, and then run it and see. Maybe you do this, and you're still getting like Adamas in all 20, and you're like, ah, okay, do I want him in how many? 12, and then see what happens. Tsutsugo maybe in too many. You go, oh, 12, and there you go. Brandon Lowe, and you go, okay, I don't mind him at second base. Brett Phillips at the bottom of the order. I don't know how much. Maybe you're getting 8% of him, and he only wants 6. Okay, so you do that. And there you go. So you're pushing up the ones that have lower point per dollars, just so you get more combinations. And you're capping the ones that have high point per dollar, just so they're not just jammed in literally everything you have. Then from this point, you also have to calculate like one-offs. If you're playing like 5X, it's like, well, how much of the 16% is going to be in stacks? And how much is going to be a Meadows one-off in some other stack? That's the second thing. But this is the main thing. It's like, if you're not getting the right combination of that, what you want, you have to tell it what you want. It's going to just jam in median F points until otherwise. So let's say, like, as an example, we'll take these away. I'm going to do this as an example. I'm going to do 5X. I'm going to do 100. Okay. I'm going to go to Tampa Bay. I'm going to do 100. Just 100%. Tampa Bay, build rules. Do unique players 1, number of lineups 20. For like a 20 max, right? Build 20 lineups. Let's just show you live and how it works. Okay, look. Austin Meadows, Brandon Lowe, Mike Zunino. right? You're getting 100% of DeGrom and Lamet. Adamas in 90%. Zugo in 65%. Right? So we sort by team. Look, you get one Arozarena lineup. Okay? Look, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Two of the Rays aren't even in your, any of your lineups. Who are those? Well, Joey Wendell and Brett Phillips. Arozarena's only in one. You build 20 of them. So now let's go to unique players two and build it. Let's see what happens now. Okay, let's sort by Rays. Okay, Brandon Lowe's in all of them. Meadows is in all of them. Zunino's in almost all of them. Adamas is in 16. Tsutsugo 12. Kiermaier 10. But Arozarena's only in two. Phillips is in one now. And Wendell is nowhere to be found. Okay, so let's go up to three. Because the unique players, it's shifting more of the unique players like around the stacks. And like your one-offs are moving around, but not the actual Rays. You're getting a little bit, but not that much. So now we're at three, unique players three. Okay, let's go. Okay, you're still getting all the Meadows, all the Low. Most of the Zunino, most of the Adamas, because they fill weak positions. Catcher, shortstop. Kiermaier, 50%. Tsutsugo in 9. Arozarena in 5. Wendell in 4. Phillips in 2. Okay, that's a little bit better. But if like Austin Meadows doesn't do well, you're dead. Your stack doesn't get it, right? Still not that much. But let's do what we just did before, okay? So I'm going to cap, right? Austin Meadows at 80%. At 80%. Put him at 60%. If you do something like this, 40. I make sure to get at least 40% of Arozarena. And make sure to get at least 40% that. Make sure to get 20% that. Right? Just as an example, it doesn't mean, are these the exact numbers I've used? I don't know. I'm just, this is what I wanted. Now I'm going to try to build again. Okay, here we go. Of course, it's still trying to give you as much as possible. But now it's a little bit, now it's a little bit more even. Meadows, 90, 18, 18 Meadows, 18 Low, 14 Zunino, 12 Adamas, 10 Tsutsugo, 9 Arozarena, 8 Wendell, 7 Kiermaier, and 4 Brett Phillips. There you go. A little bit more different types of race stacks in 20 lineups. Still trying to jam in. All these guys, it's hard to build stacks without them. That's the best point per dollar stack. And you can see here that things, you get some different one-offs. You get the same two pitchers because you haven't done anything with the pitchers yet. But if you take a look at the projections, so we go to build one. Build one has no constraints. So it's going to want to give you the highest projected lineups, 122.63, 122.51, 122.09, 121.91, right? It's going to give you all the way down to 121.44. So let's show the difference. Okay, so I'm going to write that down. So 122.63 at the top and 121.44 at the bottom. Okay, that's for build one. With one unique, you can just let it run. Build two. Total high is 122.63. We're still getting that top projected lineup. The low lineup is 121.14. Okay, so we're down 0.3 at the low end of our 20. Go to build three. 122 points. So we're still getting that same one because that's the top lineup. It's projected with all that, not in taking into account ownership. The low lineup, 121.47, which is actually better than the last one, even with three uniques. Build four, okay? 122.63. low one is 117.06. Okay? So some of these are lower because it's putting in Arozarena and Wendell in these two lineups. Right? Wendell and Arozarena are lower point per dollar projected. So the median of your lineup will be coming down. But how many points are you sacrificing? Not much. I mean, you're relying on the fact that the Rays are going to put up 12 runs, right? So in order to get Wendell, in order to get, you know, yes, you're going to be sacrificing median, but assuming they're also going to be lower owned, right? If the Rays are the chalk stack, maybe you don't do this. But all the optimizer is doing is trying to get you as many of these. But these median points don't, you care about ceilings. You care about, you're building these for correlation. Should you want, if the last number of your 20 was like, the number one was 122.63 and the last one was 78.20. Like, yeah, that's all. Yeah, giving up 50? Yeah, that's probably too lowly projected, right? 5 points, no big deal. 10 points, 20 points, no big deal. In order to get the other people in your stacks, as long as you're getting the ownership with it. Typically, guys that aren't projected as well are also lower owned. And even you go one further. Let's say you're only playing 20. You're only doing this, and you don't want to sacrifice that much. So really, the two guys that are weighing down the point per dollar projection are Wendell and Arozarena. So maybe you don't play them both together, which is kind of weird because they bat first and third in the lineup. But let's just say. I'm not saying you should do this. But let's just say, so you group them out. I wouldn't do this, but let's just say. And then we build 20 lineups now. So now the exposures of Wendell and Arozarena have to be separate from one another. So we have Arozarena 8, Wendell 8, but they're not going to be in a lineup together with each other. So you can take a look here. Fantasy points, 122.63. So look at that lineup. And the low... it's actually 115.28. Actually gives you an even worse lineup because it's trying to put Brett Phillips in. So maybe we do that. We put Brett Phillips in that also, in that player group. This is not something that, let me just make it clear. This is not something I do. I don't even suggest you do this. I'm just doing this as an example. Still going to be probably Meadows, Lowe, Adames, Zunino, Tsutsugo. Fantasy points, 121.83. To 117.82. It doesn't really do all that much anyway. But I hope that you can see here, as I delete the group, you shouldn't do the first and the third hit. You should be playing more lineups with them together. But you should see here how better to use Lineup HQ, and truthfully, any optimizer, it doesn't have to be this one, to tell it what you want. Give you the lineups that you want. If you're building 100 lineups, and you want 20% of the Rays as five-man stacks, it's most likely more of those 20, most of those 20 are going to be the five best point per dollar projected players from a point per dollar perspective. But we don't play point per dollar in DFS. We play for ceiling. So do I care that Arozarena is 4,300? But as long as he's in my Tampa Bay stack, Tampa Bay puts up 10 runs. Yeah, you're right. Arozarena could lead off and go over six. You're right. It could happen. But do you want to be sitting there going, oh, I played 20 Rays stacks and I have zero of this guy, the leadoff hitter? No. Right? And a guy that's not like he's a crappy leadoff hitter. He's a good hitter. Do I want Joey Wendell in the middle of the order in a weak shortstop position? Just not in my lineup. Just... the Rays are going to put up 10, 12 runs, and the first hitter and the third hitter in the order are the ones with overs. Like, most likely not. Does it mean you have to play them in all 20 of your lineups? No, of course not. But it's only going to be, the optimizer just looks at these numbers and wants to give you as much of it as possible until told otherwise. I told it I didn't want as much. I didn't want Meadows in every lineup. Okay, then it's going to say, okay. You realize if I give it, it's going to say to you, it's going to whisper to you, hey, Jordan, you want 20 Rays stacks. You know that the fantasy points would be so much higher if you let me just put in all the Meadows and all the Kiermaier. and all the Tsutsugo. You know, but you're telling me you only won 60% of that one guy. Okay, I'm gonna some of these median fantasy points may be lower by a half a point or a point. You okay with that? That's what it's whispering to you. Because it's trying to jam in all the F points. But now it goes, look, I'm jamming in F points. It's nice and happy. Jamming in F points, jamming in F points. And then it's like, oh, I can't play Kiermaier. Oh, I built my last Kiermaier lineup. But I could build a so much better Kiermaier lineup after it. But now you're telling me not to do it anymore. I guess I'm giving you Zunino. It's slightly lower. It's a point lower. I just was happy jamming in F points, jamming in F points, jamming in F points. So you have to tell it. That's why so many people get tools like this wrong. They think that it's going to do what, tell me what to play, Mr. Optimizer, you know, like it's a wizard or something. Like, no, it's an efficiency tool. You decide what you want to do and then you program it in. And then you run it and you go, did it do what it wanted? Did it come out the way I thought it would come out? And sometimes mathematically you get things wrong, right? Like yesterday, if I just said, I only want 20% Glasnow in the lineups that I was building, you know, the lineup HQ would spit back at me and said, no, here's 60%. I go, no, but I don't want. I only want 20%. There's no way that... From what you're telling me, there's no way for that to happen. The only way for the optimizer not to give me Glasnow is if I took the minimum salary and put it so it leaves 5,000 on the table. It's like I'm giving you the 5-man stacks you want. I'm giving you the 3 most expensive one-offs and Kenta Maeda, and you're left with 11,000. So like with it, and you're setting the minimum salary to 49,000. Like that, it's going hello. I have to give you Glasnow. There's no mathematical way for me not to give you Glasnow. Yeah, if you put the minimum salary down to 44,000, now I can fit in some 5K guy and leave 5,000 on the table. But you didn't tell me that. So it's going to give me, it's just jamming Glasnow because I'm telling it to spend at least 49,000 in salary. So I'm not sitting there wondering why I'm getting 60% Glasnow. I know why. I wanted to get as little of him as possible. And as little of him as possible was 60%. That's all I care about. Once I saw that, I'm like, I don't know. The only way that I would have to then build even more expensive stacks. And I didn't want to do that. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm playing Glasnow. Hope for raw points. Good luck to me. Let's see. Let's answer some questions before we get out of here. Hit that thumbs up button. Keep the apple juice cold. Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Still need some more thumbs ups. Superman's here. Superman, he's here to save the day. Just joining the show. Bankroll management question. Trying to build bankroll smartly. If starting out with $500, how much percentage would you recommend play for GPPs? I don't know if $500 is a bankroll, truthfully. Can you replenish it? $500 is like 10%. At that point, if you can replenish it, then it's really not a bankroll. That's the truthful answer. If you can replenish it in 2 weeks and put more money in, then really you don't have a $500 bankroll. You have a $1,000 bankroll. How much money can you put in this year to play DFS? If it's $5,000, $10,000, then that's your bankroll. Alton Burns says, wouldn't adjusting the range of outcomes help fix this problem? Yes, but it also decreases the usefulness of the projections. Once you put the range of outcomes, now it's also going to use that randomness on your one-offs, on your pitchers, right? It's not just increase the range of outcomes on the randomness of the raise, right? If I'm able to do that, then you'd be correct. If I was able to say in that example, give me 20% of, you know, give me 20 stacks of the raise and have the raise randomness at 20%. Yes, then you'd be absolutely correct. That would help. Then certain guys would be projected a little bit higher, a little bit lower. But I don't want to have it done for my entire player pool at that point. Because now it's going to do it for everyone. Like, no, I just want the raise, right? Each stack individually like that. So yes, you'd be correct if it was just a raise. But do I want to set 20%, 30% randomness? So Well, I just destroyed the purpose of the projections to begin with. Let's see, going through YouTube. Jimmy Touchdown, is Blender's course free by PDF? No, I don't have a PDF. It's an audio course. 15 hours, theoryofdfs.com. Dario Rosenstock. Hey, Jordan, I asked this question yesterday, but you didn't get to it. What do you do when trying to limit ownership product in lineup HQ? Well, I don't use product. You could use product in Excel, but most optimizers just show sum. MLB is so high variance that I don't even mind using sum as a tool. I don't. I use these right here, max total ownership. But what I'll do is just I'll build five-man stacks with everything and then see the differences in the ownerships of the lineups that I'm building. And if certain lineups, I go, well, that lineup's too chalky, I look to see what the sum of the ownership is. I go, if that lineup's too chalky, that means that sum is no good. Give me lineups below that. In another sport like NBA, NBA product is going to be more important. Product is better in any sport. But like the differences of, like, well, I'm playing, understand that I'm playing large field GPPs mostly. And I'm playing multiple guys in my lineup that are going to be single digit owned. So at that point, like, what do I care about product? I'm unique. I'm leveraged. I'm done. I'm like, what do I care? I just don't want the stack, because I'm playing stacks. So I could play three guys at 4% in a stack, but then the two chalk pitchers and a chalk one-off, that sum may be too much. Maybe I don't want to play all that chalk, even with a 4% owned stack. So I have to see what the sum of that lineup is. If that lineup is too high, because what ends up happening is that, let's say I play a 4% owned stack in my lineup, and then that automatically, with the projections, give you the highest projected pitcher combination and one-offs. Let's say the pitching combination is high-owned and the one-offs are high-owned. How do I limit that happening? Maybe I don't want to do that. I don't want to play a 28% Acuna one-off and a 35% Tatis one-off, even in a 4% owned stack. Now, what I could do is I could go to Tatis and Acuna and cap them, right? Make sure I only get 15% of that guy or only 10% of that guy. I could do that. But in a general, I could just use max total lineup ownership. So let's say I have this 4% owned stack here, right? 4% aggregate, you know, in average. So it's five guys that are 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, right? 20 total. Let's say I'm playing two 50% owned pitchers and two 30% owned one-offs. Okay? So that's 100 in pitching ownership. That's two 30% owned one-offs, right? This is a very extreme example. That would be 100 plus 60 plus my stack is 20 plus the other one-off. Who knows what it is? It comes out to like 180 some. Do I want to play that? I probably don't want to play that lineup. Even though I have a 4% owned stack. I have all these chalky one-offs and the chalky pitcher combination. No, but that's 180. And I look and I go, well, if I get rid of 50 here, that's 130. If I get rid of that here, that's 150. If I get, so I'm like, maybe I set my max total ownership at 120. So I can't possibly get that combination. I'm not even going to get the two chalk pitchers together at that point, right? Because if the stack is 4%, right? 5 times 4 is 20. Plus whatever the ownership of the other guys, three guys in my lineup is going to be over 20. And the two chalk pitchers, maybe 50% each. Well, that's going to be over 120, which means I'm not going to get that combination. So instead of making groups, don't play the two chalk pitchers together, right? Let's say there are two chalk pitchers on the slate. And they're both 50% owned. As long as, if I put it, and projected to be owned. If I put max total lineup ownership to 100, that's a blunt way of making sure that they never are in the same lineup. Right? Because obviously the batters can't be 0% owned. So if one guy's 50 and the other guy's 50, you're already at 100. Which means it can't give you those lineups. Which means it has to put in another pitcher there. So I didn't have to make a group. I just... added up the ownership and go, that type of lineup I do not want. What is the ownership sum of that lineup? Well, I need under that. That this is a blunt way of doing it. There are lineup constructions that may still exist like this that you may want, but there may be less of them. That's why product is more useful. But in MLB, especially in large slates, like, dude, you could use max total lineup ownership percentage. That's how I do it. Let's see. Anything else? What about MMA, for example, Demi? You're running lineups through Excel? Nope, I still do it the same way. But I also leave a lot of money on the table. The way that I play MMA, remember, I'm playing for unique lineups. I use Excel to determine like uniqueness of lineups. I'm looking for unique lineups. MMA, I don't care about any of this other stuff. It's just basically how many unique lineups can I build? Or lineups that are more likely to be unique or within five dupes or something like that. But a lot of times I'm building a lineup that's 48-4. That may have decent ownership, except for one guy, but it's like leaving all the money on the table. That's less likely to be duped. So I may be playing some lineups like that. I may be playing some lineups that have 49-7. I may be playing, I do that outside of this. Like, because for MMA, like ownership sum isn't as useful. MLB on a 12-game slate, I'm not even thinking about duplication factor whatsoever. Okie doke. So there was a lesson for today. If you want to use Lineup HQ and the Roto Grinders projections, player projections, ownership projections, Slate IQ, stack percentage page, cheeses, goods, the musings, everything, premium, click the link in the description. You get 10 bucks off your first month. We got a 12-game slate today. We got weather, right? Check Roth's weather report. We got shows coming up today on the YouTube. Hit the notification bell to know when they go live. NBA Grinders Live, MLB Grinders Live, crunch time for premium members. And we'll see what happens. We'll see, and we'll review it tomorrow because I'm here. I'm always here. Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern for the DFS pregame show on RotoGrinders.com.